Good morning. You know, I enjoy sometimes that we've got to go in and retrieve y'all from the kitchen because you're just fellowshipping, enjoying time together. And that's what we're about. It's a family, and it's just, you know, my prayer that we continue to be that, but continue to share God's love with others and grow and bring others to not only this family of fellowship, but God's family of fellowship as well. So just wanted to share that and my joy with that this morning. So we have joy in things like that. We find contentment there. I think that's one of the things that livens our heart in the Christmas season is those memories, the fondness, the tenderness of the Savior who came. We think of the mighty God Creator in most tender wrappings. And so we have in our heart the season of peace that we have there. And that's good, and it's right, and it's true, and all of that's there. But what do we do with that season of peace? And schedules, and calendars, and gifts, and cards. And if you just thought, oh, I haven't sent my Christmas cards yet, I'm not trying to, like, put more stress on you and remind you of that. But that's, you know, just all those things and presents, and do I have the wrapping paper, and is what I need to make my Christmas meal, is it actually going to be at the store this year because we can't seem to get things where they need to be and belong? All these things that are quite the opposite of peace. And so we have this season of peace, this season that we celebrate the birth of Christ, and what do? We fill it with all sorts of things. It's like a cookie jar sitting on your counter full of full of asparagus. There we go. That's the word I'm thinking of. Some of you like asparagus, but still, that's just really weird, right? It's why is this thing in what's supposed to be sweet? Why is this here? I find asparagus quite distasteful. And I don't care how much butter or mayonnaise or whatever you put on it. And so we do that. We put this distastefulness of all this stress and worry packed as close and tightly as we can in the season of peace. Man, we can make a mess of anything, can't we? But praise God, He is a God who redeems and loves and restores. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. Let me flip there as you flip there. And let's pray as we begin seeking His truth. Lord God, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for Your truth. I thank You for the love that You have showed and showered on us. Lord, I thank You that You are patient with us when we try and put vegetables in the cookie jar of the joy of Your peace. Lord, I pray that You just help refocus our hearts. Lord, let us return to the words that You spoke, to the truth that You gave us, to the redemption that only You can provide. Lord, and in those things, we let go what's not most important so that we can lift high those things that are. Lord, open Your word. By Your Spirit, open our hearts to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So sometimes we've just got to let things go, right? You know, man, we've got to get things done, and weeks are busy and things are hard. And you know, I was thinking this morning, my week was busy and things are hard. And so you don't have a note thing in your bulletin this morning, because I thought, you know, what good would it be if I was scurrying around and rushing around and trying to get the last things done? And okay, now let me tell you about peace. Man, that wouldn't be very sincere. So I was like, you know what? That's not the most important thing this morning. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to let it go. It's okay. Y'all are still here. This is still true. There's a pen and somewhere to scribble if you want to write notes. If God speaks to your heart, man, that's great. But we don't have that handout. So that's fine. And sometimes there's things that's fine. We need to let go, because sometimes we look for peace, not only, you know, with the wrong things, and we think, man, if I pack more things in, I can get more peace this holiday. You know, it's like, it's almost like that thought about checks, you know. Hey, I've still got checks. I've got money to spend. Well, that's not true. Just because you pack more things into the season of peace doesn't mean you have more peace. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes we're looking in the wrong thing for peace. Man, this society is so much about, you know, Supreme Court decisions and elections, and all of those things matter and have profound impact. But man, we can't see those as the source of peace. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph, who went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And when they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him, or no place for him, in the inn. I was reading through that and thinking, man, there's so many things we look at in society that we look at that the world calls valuable. As I'm reading through this passage, man, I'm just ticking off things like, man, this is, you know, this is what's important. This is what we see is necessary. This is what where peace comes from. In verses 1 and 2, we see this decree from the government and this census that's taking place, and governors and leaders and authorities, and how this is all going, and who's in charge and what's going on, what's the purpose of this, what's the reason of this. You know, did somebody fact check their census records to make sure that somebody wasn't being overly represented or underrepresented in the Roman government? I don't know. None of those things are said here, but what does remind me of this passage is that we see all of those things, and if we're not careful as believers, as a source of peace. We see the government that is put in place for our protection as above the one who put it in place. We can't seek peace and find peace in government rules and controls. In verses 3 and 4, it talks about homelands and where Mary and Joseph came from. And that was important to the people of Israel. They kept phenomenal records. We see Ancestry.com and think, wow, they can trace my ancestry back 300 years. Man, read back a little bit in Luke and like, man, they were going back thousands of years. These people had it down before Ancestry.com came around. And they had it down much better without computers. I think sometimes we're hamstrung by that stuff more than helped. But of all those notions of nations and history and heritage and family background, man, those things are important. Those things are part of who we are, but they don't define who we are. And we can't come to peace through those things. We can't come to peace there's critical race theory and all this stuff that tries to find peace. The world says we can find peace if we can settle the imbalance between races. We can find peace if we can settle the disparity of power and authority and all of that. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work. What do? We ought to love one another. When we do that, all of that other stuff's going to take care of itself. But we can't find peace in notions of our nations and homelands and histories and heritage. verses 4 and 5, it talks about their family background. You know, one of the most valuable things in my life is the heritage that I have from my parents and my grandparents. They were here not too long ago, and I keep, you know, praying for them and their health. Man, it's going to be hard when that time comes that I lose them. They spoke so much into my life, as I hope we all do to ours and our children and our families. Those are valuable things. Those are meaningful things. But they're not the source of peace. People are always going to disappoint. Relationships are always going to end one way or the other. And so whatever history and heritage is in our families, and we see that that was there and how that impacted the people of Israel, you can't find peace in that. This son that's born here in this passage speaks later in his life about, you know, this branch of Israel being cut off and a new branch grafted in, right? God is able to do what he wills with all of that. We don't see peace in that either. These can all be expressions of peace, and they can be good and real and true expressions of peace in our lives as we submit them to God and work with God. They can be expressions of peace, but they cannot be the source of the peace in our life. See, it's God's presence that begins to bring peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. It's called God with us. It's his presence. It's his very presence there in Mary and Joseph's life, in the lives of the disciples, of the early church. See, you look at the early church, none of the things that I mentioned here that can seem so profound and necessary for peace, if nations could only sign the right treaty and draw the right borders, if they can only do the right things, if we can only have the right race relations, there'll be peace. We can bring this, we can do this ourselves. How long have we been trying that? It's been a while, right? You'd think we could have honed it down and narrowed it down, and we could have got pretty close to getting peace on earth by ourselves, but we haven't. It's worse. But the presence of God in the midst of all those things, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the turmoils of the world, and in the midst of, you know, dinner getting burned, and I can't make my signature Christmas dish because the shelf where all of the ingredients are is empty. I don't feel peace with that. I feel kind of pouty, to be honest with you, if that's the case. But it's God's presence that brings peace. Peace is not made or broken in the circumstances we live. Peace is pondering the presence of God in our hearts. It's got to start inside. If we're working on peace on the outside, we're never going to get there. We've got to start with the center peace, which is our heart, the cornerstone of peace. So we've got to see that. We've got to settle that part first. No matter what happens outside, there can never be peace there if there's not peace in here first. And so we see that that's necessary. A little later in this chapter, in verse 19, Mary says, after the shepherds came and said, you know, we're just out in the field and these angels came and proclaimed this crazy thing. And we just came here to see. And this is it. This is the Son of God that's born. This child, this infant. And here's what the angels said. Here's what God told us about this. We've raised two children. Many of you have as well. I never got a message from shepherds through angels from God about my kids. And that's a remarkable thing. And I don't think Mary's like, hey, this is pretty crazy. Let me take a selfie with the shepherds. I'm going to post that on my wall. It wasn't the shepherds. It probably wasn't even the angels. It was the message of God. And she pondered them in her heart. Later down this passage, near the end of the chapter, in verse 51, Jesus is a young man. He's grown up a little bit. He's still a kid though, but they come back to Jerusalem as was their habit, and while they're with a group of family and they wrap up what they're doing, the offerings that they were giving, and they head back to Nazareth. It's with a large group, with family, you know, like this. Like we're just, you know, man, we don't know where Jay's at. Somebody's got Jay, right? And so they're traveling. Somebody's got Jesus, right? Well, they're down the road a bit, and they're like, okay, so who has Jesus? Oh, you're Jesus? Aunt Sue does. You go to Aunt Sue. I thought, you know, Jesus was... They realize he's not there. And so they go, and they start looking, and they search, and then they finally find him at the temple. And Jesus says, where else would I be but in my Father's house? Mary ponders that in her heart. She treasures it up. She stores that up. What is the meaning of this? What is that about? See, all of these things add on and add on to what Mary and Joseph had been told about who they were raising. Because they themselves had messages from angels, right? They themselves were told who they were to be raising. I'm convinced they didn't fully grasp that. Have you ever talked to a 16 or 17-year-old and told them something profound, and they're like, that changed my life. Thank you for telling me. I'm going to go live different now. I've never heard that response from a 16 or 17-year-old. Mary and Joseph were probably around in that age range. They heard profound things. Mary had to store that up in her heart because God had power for it, right? Had meaning for it in her life. God has meaning for things in our lives when He gives us messages, when He takes us places, when He teaches us things. Man, we don't understand them all fully. But all these things were messages about the presence of Jesus, about Jesus being with us, about God with us. And in that is the beginning of peace. When that message, when His presence is with us, that peace is there, it's present, it's penetrating, and it's persistent. Right? It has effect in our lives. We can try all sorts of things outside, but it's never going to get there. So we have to start with peace in our hearts. And if it doesn't start there, it's never going to get there. And that peace in our hearts is God with us. It's God's presence in our hearts. And that's where that peace has to start. The second is peace in our homes. So our homes can be chaotic. Our homes can be difficult. And there's nobody that knows our flaws like those who live in our homes. It's a shame that nobody feels our failures as much as those we love the most. But God desires this peace in our homes as well. He gave Mary and Joseph peace. They weren't home, but they were in their home. They were with their family. They were together. And so this Christmas, we may have family gathering. We may have those things coming about, and there's probably going to be some sort of strife. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be hurt feelings. There even may be betrayal. And sometimes it's not betrayal from this year or last year. Man, sometimes those relationships harbor hurt and resentment from decades ago. And you think this is supposed to be a time of peace, and it's a time of resentment. It's a time of hurt because we hold on to those things in our hearts. We're holding on to the wrong things. It's not God with us. It's that injury with me. I'm not going to let it go if you're not going to let that go. God can't heal that place in your heart. He can't heal that relationship. So the peace in our home has to come from that peace in our heart. And we have to see where our focus is. If your focus is on all the things and the activities and work around you, it's going to be hard to find peace. It's hard to find joy if you focus on, you know, joy. I'm going to be happy. You know, like if that's your goal, man, it's weird and it's awkward and it doesn't work very well, right? You're happy not by bringing things to you that give you joy. Now, you get happy by giving other people things that make them happy and joyful. Man, then you have it in your heart. It's not about fixing the things around us. As likewise we see Mary and Joseph, right? There was all sorts of reasons to be down and unpeaceful and uncontent and complaining. I mean, I'm putting myself in Joseph's shoes and thinking, man, we're not even like officially married. They're still technically, by culture and law, they were still betrothed, right? They hadn't come together until after Jesus is born. And that's what solemnized the wedding, the marriage completed that union. And he's like, man, I'm not even a father yet, and I'm failing as a dad. My wife is in, you know, I think we probably overstate the nature of the manger. We see that and we think, oh, you know, they just kick these poor folks out in the street and they're, you know, they're swallowing and moving around and donkey bedding and stuff like that. With, you know, it's like the culture was very much, right, the Hebrew culture, if somebody knocks on your door and says, I need a place to stay, you let them in and you house them. Hospitality was very highly valued. It was a place, but it wasn't, you know, the normal bed and here's a guest room. But it wasn't, I think, so dire as we see. But it was quiet and it was not your regular housing and it was a difficult place and it wasn't home. And man, they were probably struggling. And Joseph is thinking, man, how am I being the father, the husband that I should be? I on the very beginning, starting out feeling a failure, if he was looking at his situations and circumstances as he was looking at his home, he wouldn't have found peace. And Mary, likewise, how overwhelmed she would have been, how overwhelmed any young mother, especially one whose culture is so focused on doing the right thing and being in marriage before having children and all of the gossip surrounding and the assumptions surrounding their situation. And she was, you know, how easily she would have thought, you know, I'm not even around my parents, I'm not even around my family, I'm not even around any of that. And even if I was, they would probably really scorn me and reject me. And here I am, unprepared, unready, with this child, and not only a child, but a child who is the Son of God, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. How am I supposed to be prepared and ready to deal with what's on my plate? Man, if they were looking outside of themselves, there is no peace. But I think the answer to that, and the answer for us, comes in how they responded to the message that God had given them before, and how they responded to the message that God gave them in the days and years to come. That they took God's word and God's truth and said, this is central. This is foundational. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm going. But I know that if I hold true to the words that God gave me, that all the stuff around me is going to line up with his will and his purpose. When they realize that the things around them, their situations, their circumstances, their housing, their ability to do what God had called them to do wasn't their job, wasn't their responsibility, that they didn't have to manufacture peace out of the broken parts that God gave them. God just said, trust me. And they pondered God's word in their heart. They didn't ponder their troubles in their heart. They didn't ponder, they didn't treasure their situations in their heart. They treasured and pondered God's word in their heart. I want to look at one other passage. It's a passage I spoke a little bit out of yesterday, if you were here for that. I'll try not to repeat myself too much. But that's okay too. And that passage is John 14, 25. I'm going to read through 29 this morning. This is the same Jesus that was born in a manger, that was foretold by angels, announced by shepherds, worshipped and celebrated by wise men, who grew up not in the halls of a palace, at least not a palace we see. And he's talking to his disciples about a time when he knew that they would be troubled, when there would be all sorts of reasons to have anything but peace. And what are Jesus' words of encouragement to them at that time? John 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away. I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. So Jesus promises peace, peace to them in time of trouble, peace in time of loss, peace in time of hardship, peace in time of uncertainty. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I've got something to treasure in your heart that is greater than all of those things. Don't focus on them. Focus on this. And what is that this? It seems to me the peace that he's going to leave with him, with them, with their disciples, the peace that he desires to leave with us is his presence. Emmanuel, in the form of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it says, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance, Mary's words, to treasure in your heart, to bring those things back, all that I have said to you, because Jesus' words are the words of life. But the Holy Spirit, whom he sent, is that Helper, is the source of peace, that peace when God is with us, and that is where peace begins. His peace is effective. It's not a mirage. The things of this world promise peace, but they fade away before they're even realized. His peace is pervasive. It covers all areas of our life. We find resolution in a court case. We find resolution and agreement in this world for one thing. And how easy is it? You know, it's so small, it's so narrow. There are a million things that are still broken. If we can solve one thing, there's a million things that are left unsolved. Not with God. When God gives us peace, he gives us peace that covers all things, that passes all understanding. His peace is profound. It's meaningful. It's tangible. Man, it is powerful in difficult circumstances. Even here yesterday, in the midst of loss of mothers and aunts and grandmothers and friend and our friend Liz, that as she passed away, to see the peace of God in the hearts of those who love not only her, but her Savior, was profound. And so Jesus spoke this knowledge that this presence of God is effective, pervasive, profound. It is powerful in our life. But this peace is still in that a down payment. It's a little bit. Because when we have peace here, there's still turmoil in the world. It's peace in spite of. But it's a promise for peace, complete, full, unending, and unerring. First Corinthians 13, many of us know, is the love chapter. One of my favorite sections of that is near the end of the book, and it says, faith, hope, and love, these three remain. But the greatest of these is love. For now we have a hope and faith in what God promises. But man, when that is our reality, when we come to that and are fully in God's presence, what else is there to hope for? Hope at that point is gone. What else is there to have faith in? Because all that we had had faith in, all that was looked forward to and promised has been delivered. It is in its fullness. But love remains. In the presence of God, love remains. And in God's presence, when He is not in us, but we are fully in Him, is the full promise of peace. It is what we look for. It is what Christ was sent for. It is that promise of His full presence, not in us, but us in Him. And so as we look at this Christmas season, as we see the beauty of the decorations and the ornaments that we set in our house, when we see the lights, when we see the wreaths and their symbolism and so many of those things, and I think we miss some of that. And I think it does us good to look and remember at some of those old traditions, not because, one reason or other, but because they point to the truth and power of God. And as we go through this season where we memorialize and remember Christ's birth, His entering this world, that He was with us, that we know that in that purpose of His was that we would be not peace in our house, but peace in His house. Peace in His home, and that is what He's called us to, and that is what He desires to bring us to, and that is the hope that we have in Him. And so what a joy to look back at that scene with Mary and Joseph, and you look and see, man, if they actually knew and understood what God was doing through the world in their little lives. In our little lives, we have friends and we interact with a few folks. Our days are short, but God has great plans. And if we really knew what God intended to do with us, we would be so overwhelmed, because we would immediately start thinking, what do I got to do? How do I got to act? How am I going to respond to that? Jesus says, it's none of that. It's me. It's my presence. It's my redemption. It's my work. It's my home. And that is what He's called us to live in that moment in peace in His presence. Lord God, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You so much for Your Son who You sent. Lord, so innocent, and we see that as a child. Lord, we see a 33-year-old man hanging on a cross, and we don't quite comprehend the level of innocence. But Lord, when we see an infant wrapped in clothing, we see innocence. Lord, the same man, the same one. Lord, that You sent Him that He should be the atonement for our sin, for our brokenness, a perfect vessel to save the mess that we are. Lord, let us not continue to find peace in the mess that made turmoil. Lord, let us not continue to seek resolution in the thing that ruined it. Let us find peace in your presence this Christmas. Let us find peace by pondering your words, by pondering your love for us, by pondering the gifts that you've given us. Lord, may peace be found in these things. And may we share it with a passion and a love. Lord, by your Spirit, by your presence, grow your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.